You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, welcome once again, everyone, to tonight's live broadcast of TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards, this Saturday evening, August the 14th. And this is the four-year anniversary of the Battle of Charlottesville. We had considered doing another show on Charlottesville, but since we just did one so recently, the 4th of July with Sam Dixon and Jason Kessler, sort of catching everybody up on what's going on there with regard to the trials. And we are going to be covering those trials in October. We're not going to do or mention very much of Charlottesville tonight. We've got another topic that the audience demands we cover, and we're going to tell you what that is in just a moment. But I would let you know that Sam Dixon appeared on Eddie the Bobadil Miller's program immediately preceding ours. Great, great, great conversation, so you'll want to check that out. But anyway, welcome to TPC. I'm James Edwards. Keith Alexander is not in the studio tonight, but we do have him over the phone for the first hour. Let me tell you what's coming up this evening. Our audience, a lot of people in the audience, have requested that we do an extensive discussion about COVID-19, the vaccine hysteria, and current events pertaining to that particular subject. And while Keith Alexander and I have offered our hot takes the last couple of weeks, I agree that it is time that we have this informed discussion. So helping us do that tonight in the third hour, folks, please stay tuned for the third hour when I'll be joined by a special guest, Dr. Jean-Francois Garapé, and he is a biologist and a doctor of neuroscience. He obtained his doctorate at the University of Montreal and continued a career in biomedical research at Duke University as a postdoctoral researcher, and later led his own research team in the private clinical sector in neuropsychiatry. He has received multiple awards for his contributions to science and public education, including the Next Generation Award by the Society for Neuroscience, as well as being praised as one of the top biologists of our time by Robert Trivers at Rutgers and Manolis Kellis from MIT. So J.F. Garapé is going to be with us tonight to talk about COVID and the vaccines from a medical point of view. In the second hour tonight, Tim Murdoch, the popular commentator, will be back to talk with us about the related socio-political trends. We're going to tackle the vaccine. We're going to tackle COVID from a medical and socio-political point of view tonight with Tim Murdoch and J.F. Garapé. So that's what's coming up in the second and third hours. But first, Keith Alexander is with us over the phone. And what we're going to be doing this hour, ladies and gentlemen, is, if you don't know it, America's absurdity has now drifted beyond parody. And Keith Alexander and I are going to prove it to you. We've got the evidence. And we have finally, once and for all, and without question, going over the rails. Keith, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
Well, listen, my friend, we had the opportunity to talk earlier today, and it was one of those phone conversations where we were sort of doing a little brainstorming for the program, and I said, Keith, you got to remember exactly how you said it just then, and this so often happens when we're talking and we're spitballing. I said, there's no way that can be improved upon when we go live on the air, but we were talking about a few stories that have come up in the news in recent days that we were going to cover, and Keith was just nailing them. Let's see how he does now that we're live and we're not in dress rehearsal. So,
well, I can tell you why that was, by the way. I've figured that out. I get some of my best thoughts in that twilight zone between sleep and when you're fully awake in the morning. And when you called, you aroused me from sleep, and I was in that twilight zone, and I mean, I was
tell.
Talking about the twilight zone, that's probably a good description of where America is now.
Well,
we're in the twilight zone where you can't tell the difference between fact and fantasy.
Well, that was actually one of your lines today. There was like, there is no truth anymore. There is the truth, and then there's their truth. Of course, our truth, which is the truth, of course, isn't taken into consideration. Well, everything's being renamed. Streets and monuments and parks and even boulders, forests and waterways. Well, we've got the next one for you from NPR. This is a National Public Radio national news story. And the title reads, Monuments and Teams Have Changed Names as America Reckons with Racism. Birds are next. And this is how the article begins. Our relationship with nature often begins with a name. It's an introduction that tells us something about that animal, like the spotted turtle or the great tree frog or the yellow-bellied sapsucker. But in many cases, efforts are underway to change the name of some of these living monuments, birds. And they have found that the legions of black bird watchers, you know, I'd never heard of such a thing as a black birder, as they are colloquially known, until the incident in Central Park last year, where you had the black man who wouldn't leave the white woman alone. He kept badgering her because of she had a dog that apparently wasn't on a leash, and so he wouldn't quit bothering her, so she called the police, and of course she was the one who was at fault there, and he was just an innocent birder, a bird watcher. Well, apparently there is more than just one black birder in the world, and they have a big problem with the names of some of these birds. And one of them is called the McCown Longspur. And that bird, Keith, has got to be renamed, because it has come to light that bird is named after John McCown, who is a Confederate general. Now, let me tell you, John McCown was not necessarily a well-known Confederate general. I don't even know how many Confederates knew who he was. Even the modern-day Southern sympathizers might not know John McCown. But the black birders figure it out, however many of them there are. And that bird, along with a numerous other birds who offend these black birders through their binoculars, they're all getting renamed, Keith. So that's where we are now in council culture. It's come to the birding society.
Well, who knew that McCown's Longspur, or McCown, was a Confederate general? I guarantee you, they must be paying people enormous sums of money to research everything. You know, there's probably a planet that has some type of relationship to some Confederate general or something that they're going to have to rename. It's just, you know, this is not just a parody. You know, it's not just funny. This is like the early Soviet Union when they were tearing down all the statues and renaming everything. This is the kind of the canary in the coal mine, the precursor to the real repression, you know, where the Lubyanka knocks on your door at midnight and then takes you down to the basement of the NKVD knocks on your door at midnight and hauls you off to the basement of the Lubyanka, where they put a bullet in the base of your brain. This is crazy what's happening in America, and it's not just silliness. We're talking about that this morning, and that was kind of my impression, but the more I think about it in terms of historical context and what happened in other Marxist revolutions, this is an ominous prospect. You know, who in the world knew that McCown was a Confederate general? Except, you know, I doubt if very many members of the McCown family knew that. It's crazy.
Hey, folks, we're just getting started this hour, so I would say this is a more of a lighthearted hour compared to where we're going to go with Tim Murdoch and J.F. Garapay, but this is serious, and it's seriously offensive. You'll have to keep from crying, maybe, but this is what's going on in the birding community tonight.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
You're a hero to your ego, a legend in your man. Serve and protect, that's been your word. But can you stand to sit it out when pride is on the line? And what about the bandit was the last thing that you heard?
Your Buford T. Justice, fearless law of Texas, the man who chased the bandit coast to coast.
Buford T. Justice, now you've up and left us. Where are you, Justice, when we need you the most? Just like
now, that's a good question. It's a good question, and we liked that song so much last week, we decided to revisit it in an encore capacity tonight. But let me, folks, I got to say one more thing about this story we were covering in the first segment to break the ice tonight before we move on to the next one, which was equally and in some ways even more absurd. We're talking about the absurdity of the American experiment now. But yes, so the McCown bird being renamed. Well, so here it is, Keith, just to get down to brass tacks. The American Ornithological Society President Mike Webster has set up an 18-member committee of ornithologists to go through the complete catalog of bird names to find out what is offensive to black people. And a black bird watcher by the name of Nicole Jackson was asked about, you know, how she felt about the society's efforts to, you know, placate her for all of this trauma. And she said, you know, I feel like it's a start.
Well, you know, the society had better watch out for themselves rather than just the birds, because I'm sure that Nicole, having the mindset that she has, is not going to stop with ferreting out names associated with some obscure Confederate general. She's going to go after white people generally, and probably we're going to have to rename all of the species of birds now, because I'm sure most of them were named by white ornithologists or bird watchers or whatever you want to call them. And the next thing you know, they're going to purge all the white people from this 18-member board. You know, that's where all of this leads. These people don't seem to understand that it's a camel's tent, nose in the tent situation. If you let that camel's nose in the tent, and that's what they've done with McCown's name.
Well, that's not the only one. You know, that's just one that they're renaming. But she said that as a black birder, we need to feel like we have enough of a community that we can talk to each other and feel safe. Apparently, this just the name of this bird was making her feel unsafe when she was out in the environment.
Well, you know, they're going to just get any if anyone if there's any white name, be it Anglo-Saxon, be it French, be it Russian, whatever, associated with the name of a bird, that's going to be purged, and we're going to have the Ashanti Zulu of Longspur or whatnot now. And, you know, it's just, you know, why don't these people see, this is why I think there's this, we were talking about this morning, too, about the reduction in the white population of America. First time it's gone down from one census to another since they started taking a census in 1790. And I've told you, I don't know that I really think that's legitimate. I think it may be that a lot of the people responding are involved in what they call the flight from white. For example, white Hispanics no longer want white as part of their description. They just want to be Hispanic. So their numbers have been removed from the group that we call white. And, you know, that may be why we have all these crazy transgendered issues and people claiming like Rachel Dolezal to be black or Elizabeth Warren to be Indian. These are crazy white leftists that are desperate to preserve for themselves some type of dispensation from being considered white. They need to be considered something other than white because they can't cope with being lumped in here with the Ku Klux Klan as white people.
Well, you know, I actually got this story about the birds from Sam Dixon. If you tune in any given night on the Political Cesspool, you're going to probably hear the names of at least one of the following people cited on the program. It's either going to be Sam, it could be Pat Buchanan, it could be Brad Griffin, and we got a Brad Griffin story here too. But there was a message in that original email. First, they came for the birds, and I was silent because I wasn't a bird.
Right,
we all know
that
a classic saying. Well, anyway, here's what else is going on. Brad Griffin quite rightly notices that the news cycle for CNN and MSNBC stopped on January 6th. They are still on the January 6th news cycle. They seem to talk about nothing but the so-called insurrection. The event only becomes more harrowing as the further away from it we drift. But here was something else we talked about today, Keith. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she was interviewed by CNN a couple of days ago, and they were still asking her what the experience was like as she looks back on January the 6th. And she said in this interview just a few days ago that she didn't merely fear that she was going to die that day. She also feared that she was going to be raped. Now, you may say, well, that's also absurd that neither of those things were very likely at all to happen. But it was even more unlikely for her. Why? Because she wasn't even there. She was not even there. She was in a completely different building a couple of blocks away and across the street. Now, when the January 6th event took place, this was something that was widely cited because she's a star of the Democratic Party. And so many of the regime media's mouthpieces made mention of the fact that while she wasn't there, she was in another building. These were her thoughts on what happened. Now, 8 months later, she's able to say, well, yeah, when that happened, I thought they were going to kill me. I thought they were going to rape me. And nobody challenges her on this. The obvious question would be, well, how could you fear you would have been raped at the Capitol when you weren't even there? That's what any decent reporter would ask her as a follow-up question. And this is something that Sam Dixon said. Sam Dixon brought up a situation in the Soviet Union, an example. And one of the examples might have been, well, they said something took place in a piece of propaganda that occurred at a particular location.
Hello?
And then if it became known that a particular location
I don't hear
wasn't even there at the particular time, that the communists would get embarrassed. They would actually show a little bit of embarrassment. But here, now in America, we have gone so far beyond that. Now they will completely fabricate and make up these stories. And there's no embarrassment at all. Not only are they not embarrassed, it's not even brought to their attention that what they say couldn't have possibly happened because either they weren't there or this thing didn't happen as they told it, or this place didn't exist at this certain time. So we've completely gone beyond even Soviet propaganda now, Bolshevik propaganda, with what we've got here with this situation, how they are propagandizing the January 6th protest. And of course, they really have done that with Charlottesville as well. I know we were talking about not mentioning Charlottesville at length tonight, even though, you know, it would be timely with it being the fourth anniversary of that particular day. The way the system has latched on to Charlottesville and are using that as a bludgeon is absolutely incredible. Because the thing about Charlottesville is that I know so many of the people who were there, and I've seen the drone footage. I've seen it. You know, it'd be one thing to say, well, you're just believing this side because they're your friends and they're your contemporaries. Well, you know, I do trust these people because I know them to be honest, good people. But it was so much more than that. I mean, not only would I have trusted them if it came between whose word are you going to take, but the video evidence of what took place that day backs up the side of the Unite the Right rally participants. But hey, don't let the video evidence get in the way of the narrative, for God's sake. And it's just amazing to see how the system just steamrolls through the truth. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying she feared she would be raped at a place she wasn't even at. The Charlottesville narrative. It's an incredible thing to watch in the most horrible way imaginable, what we're seeing. We'll be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. A major 7.2 magnitude earthquake hit off the coast of Haiti on Saturday, with the U.S. Geological Survey predicting a potentially high number of casualties and significant economic losses. The epicenter of the quake struck about 7.5 miles northeast of the Haitian commune of San Luis de Sud, according to the U.S. agency. Arnold Schwarzenegger on CNN called anti-maskers schmucks in a powerful interview where he rallied against COVID-19 deniers.
There is a virus here. It kills people. And the only way we prevent it is to get vaccinated, to wear masks, to do social distancing, washing your hands all the time, and not just to think about, well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom.
This is USA Radio News.
The MyPillow Premium Pillow Special continues at MyPillow.com. If you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, you can get a standard or queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a $40 savings. King-size, only $5 more. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. Friends, Mike Lindell's My Pillow, My Slippers make my feet feel better than they have in about 20 years. My Pillow proprietary foam, memory foam, patented impact gel, indoor-outdoor soles. You won't want to take them off, or Mike Lindell will give you your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and save 40% using my promo code USA.
Former ICE officer Thomas Feely, who resigned over President Biden's border policies, sarcastically applauded Alejandro Mayorkas for admitting all his failures and ripped into the DHS secretary for trying to make the border situation sound like a good thing.
If you're a true leader, you cannot look at the men and women that work for you and look them in the eye and lie to them. That is just not something I can do. I'm not wired that way. I'm a Marine.
Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, a Republican on Friday,
announced at a press conference that he had no plans of issuing a statewide mask mandate or requiring state employees to get vaccinated as the state experiences a spike in COVID-19 cases, WJTV reported. Reeves did, however, encourage residents of his state to get the vaccine. Reeves had extended the state of emergency order that was initially going to expire Sunday when he reiterated his stance against mandating masks in school. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, and we're back, with Keith Alexander, I think. Keith has one of those cell phones like Zach Morris used in Saved by the Bell in the late 80s. But we're back with Keith, and we've got him. So, Keith, you heard the situation with AOC and how she was thanking her lucky stars that she wasn't raped at a place she wasn't even at, and she's able to get away with it because our media is that corrupt and that subservient to the narrative of the system. Your reaction to that?
Well, apparently AOC's fantasies and fears and hallucinations take precedence over real facts because, you know, I've never seen January the 6th, I've never seen so much made of so little. The one person that died was one of the so-called protesters and was killed by a trigger-happy Capitol Hill cop, and we can't even get his name out of the media, you know. If the shoe had been on the other foot, you would have known his name before the gun smoke cleared, and it would have been all over, and he would have probably been lynched by the left, figuratively or literally, by now. See, this is right out of the Orwell's Ministry of Truth. The truth they believe in, you know, anything that advances their narrative, it can be real, it can be unreal, it can be something that actually happened, or it can be somebody's fear or hallucination. And that takes precedence over the facts. This is, you know, I never thought in my wildest dreams when I was growing up that I would live in an America where the news media was so totally sold out to any, you know, political faction. I guess I figured out that if it was going to be sold out, it would have been to the left. But, you know, it's not AOC that's living a nightmare. It's we that are living a nightmare. Something as, you know, as Hillary Clinton called it, as big of a nothing burger as January the 6th, now hogs all the headlines. And they're doing it because they don't want you to focus on the real story, which is the massive electoral fraud that was used to elect Joe Biden. Joe Biden got more votes than any other candidate in history in a U.S. presidential election, and he couldn't
purportedly
even draw flies. He couldn't draw 30 people to a rally when he was actually running. So you know it's corrupt. You know it's false, but they don't want you to talk about that. They want to talk about the dire threat of a guy, you know, wearing a fuzzy hat with two horns sticking out of it.
he was about to take
over the U.S. government.
Keith, this goes back to, again, there used to be the truth. Now it's their truth and our truth. And it's because of these outlandish lies that AOC is able to talk about and have a fawning media say, oh, you're so brave. How did you ever survive not being raped at a place you weren't even at? And that goes back to the Jussie Smollett thing, where he had the audacity to come up with this completely unrealistic scenario where two people in MAGA hats were carrying rope and a can of gasoline at 2 a.m. in sub-zero weather in Chicago, and he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and these two white guys jumped. Of course, that whole thing unraveled, but there was no serious punishment for Jussie Smollett. You know, if he had gotten away with it, he would have been the darling and been paid God knows how much money by these guilty white liberals, and even though they did find out after countless man hours of the Chicago Police Department dedicated to this case, found out it was a complete hoax, as it so often is. I mean, we see this all the time with black students in colleges putting ropes on their dorm room doors, or black pastors spray painting a swastika on their church, and it never, 95% of the time, 99%. It's always a hoax, but there's no truth anymore. There's their truth.
But it doesn't matter whether it's a hoax now. You know, the left is starving. They are praying on bended knee every day for another Emmett Till, for another Dylan Roof. But the white population isn't cooperating with them. So what's going to happen? People like AOC are going to dream them up. Said, I, it's like that old song from the, Wobblies. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. You know, he was some supposed hero, mythical hero almost, of the Wobblies, you know, the International Workers of the World back in the late 19th century. But, well, now she's going to dream that she saw Emmett Till, and she dreamed that Dylan Roof was coming back in her dreams to rape her or something. You know, this is the absurdity of all this is stupefying. I mean, you know, Sam Dixon is absolutely right to focus on these type of things because, you know, you can tell now that these people are unmoored from reality, and they like it that way because reality isn't nearly as dramatic as their hallucinations and fears and, crazy fevered dreams.
It'd be like if you came to me, Keith.
They can't get a real Emmett Till. They can't get a real Dylan Roof again. So they're going to make one up. And that's next step. It's going to be that not AOC dreamt that she was raped, but, you know, they said about the female people claiming, you know, the Me Too movement, you got to believe them. Well, now you got to believe them. Okay.
Well,
need to believe it. She's going to dream up somebody's name and say this person needs to be prosecuted for rape.
Well, and I'll tell you who needs to be prosecuted. The people who need to be prosecuted are the people who are pulling these hoaxes. Hey, hang on. The people who are doing these hoaxes.
If it were not, you know, that this tells you that the media can make their own reality now, and that's really scary. That's going to be the next step.
All right, I don't know.
Somebody is going to get prosecuted for one of these dreamt-up hallucinations of a leftist.
I don't know if your cell phone's coming in or cutting out, but just a quick thing. Yes, these people who are perpetrating these hoaxes should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Instead of just saying once it's uncovered to be a hoax, as it inevitably always is, they should be prosecuted. Because it encourages people like AOC to go out and say, that'd be like if you came in and you told me James almost burned to death when the theater I was at caught on fire last night. I said, well, what was it like? Well, I don't know. I was at home, but I almost died. I mean, it's the same thing.
Don't hold your breath waiting for Merrick Garland's Department of Justice to prosecute any of these hoaxes. That is not going to happen. Now, they may prosecute you as having done some scurrilous act that we never did and weren't within 1,000 miles of it. But, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction. And like they say, you can't make it up anymore.
Well,
this
I've got the,
our news is going.
I've got the most absurd. We've covered a couple of examples of absurdity. The AOC, you know, story we've been talking about, the birders in the first segment. But how about this one? Oregon, the state of Oregon, suspends the need for high school graduates to be proficient in reading, writing, and math. And here is the new law, the new bill that was passed in Oregon, reads, notwithstanding any rules adopted by the State Board of Education, a student is not required to show proficiency in essential learning skills as a condition of receiving a high school diploma. And Charles Boyle, the deputy communications director of Governor Kate Brown's office, is quoted as saying that the new standards for graduation will benefit the state's, quote, black, Latinx, indigenous, Asian, Pacific Islander, tribal, and students of color. Now, That's an interesting admission. So by saying you no longer have to be able to read or write or be able to do basic math in order to graduate from high school, I wonder why that would benefit everybody but white students, Keith. I mean, why is he admitting that? What's going on here? I think we lost Keith again. We know that cell phone. We got to get Keith back in the studio. Yeah, are you there, buddy?
I'm here, buddy. Let me just say this about that, okay? Let me say it while I still can, okay? Here's the situation. This shows you what a calamity and a disaster Brown versus Board of Education was and how they never intended to do anything benevolent for black people. Black people apparently can no longer read and write and do math based upon the tender ministrations of the left in transforming American public education. You know that in 1954, American publication was number one in the world. Now we're at the bottom of the developed world because of Brown versus Board of Education and its progeny and where all of that led us. And, you know, you can't pretend that people that can't read, write, and do math can do them and put them in positions of authority and power, which is what the next step of the left is going to be. You know, if you wanted to figure out a way to harm black people, you couldn't do any better than their transformation of public education in America.
Hold on right there. Great spot to pause. We'll be right back.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, coming up in the second and third hours, respectively, we're going to be joined by Tim Murdoch, the popular commentator, who to offer us his opinion on the socio-political trends currently taking place relative to COVID and the vaccines. And then in the third hour, an informed medical opinion from Dr. Jean-Francois Garipé. And he's got the credentials all day long. So it's going to be interesting to hear. And I'm just going to ask him questions. I'm not going to offer any commentary or any analysis or any opinion. I'm going to ask him questions that you have sent in, that the audience has sent in, and we'll see how many he can answer in the time that we have with him. And we'll see what he says. I'm not going to lead him in any direction. I just want to know what he thinks as somebody with a doctorate. So, but first, Keith Alexander, the great, he'll be back with us for the full show next week. He is out of the studio tonight, but we are talking, and here's what we're doing right now. We are presenting evidence suggesting that America's absurdity has firmly drifted beyond parity, and we've given you some examples. One more thing about this, Keith, the situation in Oregon where you no longer have to be able to read, write, or do arithmetic. Reading, writing, and arithmetic are racist now. Kevin McDonald responded to this story by writing that thriving in the 21st century doesn't require basic proficiency. The call for a more inclusive and equitable review of graduation and proficiency requirements, quote-unquote, that Oregon has put through was supported by Foundations for a Better Oregon to, quote, reflect what every student needs to thrive in the 21st century. Well, basically, Keith, what they need is nothing. They don't need to know anything. And what you said earlier today is true. It will get to the point where you're racist if you don't allow these people who can't read, write, or do math to become doctors or pilots. If you don't let them come, well, how could you stop them from coming now because they don't even need these things to graduate?
Well, what it shows, James, is that this has been a culmination of a great diabolical plot that began with Brown versus Board of Education. In 1954, I guarantee you that black people in Oregon who had gone at least to 12 years of public schooling knew how to read, write, and do basic math. Now, that can't be, you know, that's how far they've slipped. This was supposed to be the best thing since floating soap. Integrating the schools. You can tell now that integrating the schools was a disaster, not for black people, for white people, and for society generally. We now have a group of people that the left is going to, by hook or crook, drag, kicking and screaming into positions of authority and power that don't know how to read, write, or do math. You know, this is a precursor to the downfall of America. I'm sure that the Chinese and any other enemies we have, the Iranians, are looking at this and licking their chops. They say, I can't believe this. You know, it's what Napoleon said, when your enemy, and we're their enemy, is making a mistake, don't interrupt him. They're looking back there and saying, you know, and that's how we feel on the right now. The left has gone so far off the rails now, trying to suggest that we need to put and promote people that don't know how to read, write, or do basic math, and they are admitting that our public education is a total and a complete failure. This is what is being turned out by the NEA teachers union-dominated public schools of America now, and it's absolutely absurd. I've never seen anything like this proposed before, but this is what happens when you allow leftists to rule your country. It's just, you know, it's like we said, you can't make it up.
Indeed you can't, Keith. And if we haven't given you enough absurdity yet this hour, I got one more for you. So what else is going on in the Pacific Northwest now that you don't have to learn anything in school in order to graduate and go on and get a job and prosper and thrive in today's woke society? What's going on in Seattle, you ask? Well, the headline reads, Seattle homeless encampment so dangerous that the sheriff is telling city employees to work remotely for safety. Now, you would think that law enforcement would take control of a situation where it's so dangerous people can't go to work. And that would be bad enough if it was taking place anywhere in any given city. This is taking place in front of City Hall I kid you not. Let me read two paragraphs here. The homelessness crisis in the city of Seattle has become so dangerous that not even the King County Sheriff can keep its professional staff safe. Citing the unsafe environment around the courthouse, administration, parking garage, and corrections facilities. This is downtown City Hall, Keith. King County Sheriff Mitzi Johanknet. This is, okay, a female sheriff. That's a problem, but that's a separate issue. Ordered most of her staff to abandon their offices Tuesday and work remotely. Now, if you're a damn sheriff's deputy, how are you going to work remotely? The order was effective.
No wonder all these people are quitting the police force in droves.
Well, and so here, this place that they've shut down, it's the downtown Seattle complex that houses the King County Courthouse and City Hall. So the homeless people have shut down City Hall in Seattle, and the sheriff is saying, hey, it's too dangerous. What do you want us to do about it? And that's what's going on. And this is, again, just, I think, indicative of the mindset that gives birth to a law that they passed, that bill they passed in Oregon that we were just talking about. And by the way, also in Oregon, you know, we talked last week, was it last week or a week or two ago, where Antifa is now targeting Christian churches, and we'll say Christian churches because that's how they're described. I doubt
too many.
What happened
to that federal law that made it a major felony to burn a church? Again, I doubt that Merrick Garland's Department of Justice is going to prosecute any of the Antifa people or Black Lives Matter people that are burning churches in the Northwest. Think about this, too. In 1954, the assumption was we need to bring the South and public education and the product that we're turning out in our schools up to the level of the enlightened North, like Oregon, like Seattle. Well, now you see, as a result of the changes wrought in public education and in society generally by the left, the Seattle, Oregon, and everywhere else in blue state America is worse off than the South was in 1954. You know, they've had just the exact opposite effect for what they were promising to America when that decision came down, and it was an illegal decision, it was an improper decision, it was a usurpation of power by a leftist Supreme Court at the time. And you see what comes of this. You know, what does it say in the Bible? Do not be deceived, you shall know them by their fruits. Can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit? Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Look what liberalism has brought to Oregon and Washington State, just based on those two reports you have, one from Oregon, one from Seattle, Washington, you know, is that corrupt fruit or good fruit? That is obviously corrupt fruit. And when are the people going to, you know, Harold Covington wrote his famous novels about having a white ethnostate in the Pacific Northwest, saying that's the whitest part of the country and that's where we need to have it. Well, I tell you, Harold Covington must be spinning in his grave, because this is the last place on earth that you would want to flee to. It's the place you want to flee from now, based on liberalism.
Well, listen, Keith, listen to this. This situation, they are continuing to attack not just churches now, but church parishioners in Portland. Of course, we all know what happened in Birmingham. You know, that's where all these laws that you mentioned come from. But, hey, forget about it when the perpetrator and the victim don't match the narrative. So in Portland just this week, they're not just spray painting churches and vandalizing churches anymore. They attacked a group of church members who were having a service. And it says here in the story that a male worshiper said the pastor walked up to the group of demonstrators, this is Antifa, to ask them to stop, but he was pepper sprayed and incapacitated. So they're attacking Christians now in Portland. Listen, the Crusaders would have squashed people like that back when Christianity was serious. This was, you know, that would have never happened. But now
the Christians.
Well, if you want to see a serious country, we didn't have time to get to it this hour. I'd intended to, but check out the Tucker Carlson interview with Viktor Orban and what's going on in
well, that's
in,
what
in
we
Hungary.
Need. And what is this? This is why we picked the Ballad of Buford T. Justice. you know, what is Merrick Garland going to do about enforcing the law about defacing, vandalizing, burning churches? He's not going to do a thing. Where are you, Justice, when we need you the most, right?
You're on it. You got it. That's why we played it twice.
Where are you? I said that's the reason we had the Ballad of Buford T. Justice keyed up. Where are you, Justice, when we need you the most? Definitely not in Seattle or in Oregon, right?
No, apparently not. But if you look at Viktor Orban, and this was another point that was made, everything he's saying now was supposed to be extremist and far right and all of these things. It was the same things, by the way, we were saying in 2016, the same things we were saying in 2004 when we started this radio program. It's common sense, okay? This is a show where you can hear common sense. That's what it is. I don't like to get pigeonholed in some
well,
sort of
common sense is now extremism in America. That's where
that's
that is.
That's good. There you go. There you go. All right. Well, anyway, we might check out that what Viktor Orban had to say to Tucker next week, but it's what you would hear here on any night talking about the values of a homogenous society and the Christian faith and, you know, a seriously taken Another Christian faith. Anyway,
hey,
thanks, Keith.
When we need you the most.
Talk to you next week, buddy. We'll be back together under one roof. And we'll be back with Tim Murdoch next.
Okay.